Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this night. We thank you, Lord, even for the cold, Lord, and we thank you that we are here in this warm building and room, and we thank you that those things are a blessing, Lord, that we often forget. And we just thank you, God. We praise you, God. We thank you for who you are. Lord, there are no words apart from your scripture that can just help us understand the depth of your love for us. So I pray, God, as your word goes forth, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would just move on our hearts tonight to just really, truly, sincerely, verily of verily, help us know how deep your love is for us, Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are starting Psalm 145 tonight, 145. And last week we had an overview of the psalm, and it was about praise and worship. So, and the word worship, if you remember from last week, was to turn and kiss. Okay, it's up on the screen. There's a shortcut. You can look at the answer. Yeah. For those of you who don't know, I'm a teacher, and I always ask my students, what was in the textbook reading last night? And everybody's staring at me. I'm like, you can look down at the textbook in front of you and just read it out loud. I won't be disappointed. It's not like a test where you have to memorize it. So feel free to always reference to the answer. It's always a good thing. So I'm going to read Psalm 145, verses 1 to 3, which is the verses we're covering tonight. So it's starting in verse 1. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Wow. How cool is that? So some things we know about this psalm. First, it's a psalm of David. So King David of Israel, right? He was the one writing this psalm. And obviously it's the Lord, right, writing through David as his penman. And we can see this as the last psalm of praise. So it builds up from a psalm 140 building up to 145. So one commentator on this wrote that it's kind of like a crescendo of psalms. So it kind of like magnifies continuously greater and greater in intensity. Have you ever heard a crescendo in music? Anyone here? It's like this gradual loudness of volume, right? So that's kind of what David's doing here. He's gradually getting louder in his praise for God. And I think that's a really good picture of our life living for Christ, right? We gradually get louder and louder in our praise for God as we go through the struggles of this world and these difficult circumstances, but we have Christ in us and living through us. Those praises get louder and louder and more obvious. And the Bible actually says that when we die and go to heaven, if we are in Christ, if we know him as our Lord and Savior, that we go from glory to glory, right? So it's not like this misery, suffering, sadness to glory in heaven, but that sanctification process, and that's just a theological word, a word from the Bible that talks about how God makes us more and more like him as we walk with him, as we get to know him, as we read the Bible, and the more familiar we become with the greatness of who God is, he makes us, right, just glorifies us in him, and then we go from glory to glory in heaven, and it's a beautiful picture. So it's a crescendo of the Psalms, right, of praise. And we know that it may have been sung after a battle or victory in battle God gave to David. So it's kind of like that victory after that really tough battle that God gave over to David as a victory, right? And sometimes battles are hard, right? Maybe you're going through a battle right now when you go through those circumstances that are really, really difficult. Even those circumstances that you can think on in times past that you've had victory in, right? It's still hard, right? But there's something really cool that David uses this psalm specifically to sing praise to God after a battle and kind of victory in battle. So that's something I think I want to do. It's like that battle comes and goes. We have victory to remember to turn and praise God. And it reminds me of the story of those 10 lepers, right, whom God healed. And when Jesus healed the 10 lepers, how many came back to thank him? The one, right? That one came back to thank him. And I hope we're that one. We're that David in the psalm as he's praising God for the victory he gave him in the battle. So really cool. Charles Spurgeon, who was a minister, says, "No chorus is too loud, no orchestra too large, no psalm too lofty for the lauding of the Lord of hosts." And that's our Lord of hosts, right? The Lord, the God of the armies of heaven. There's nothing too great that can be said about him. So as we're looking at this psalm, I want you to think about how David is blessing God. And I believe that the one thing that God was pressing on my heart the most for me to know, for all of us as women to know tonight, is how we all together bless God, okay? I mean, God is pleased with you. I mean, God loves you. He is so pleased with you. He just loves you, and he's just so ecstatic that you're his daughter. So if you know God, the Father, right, through Jesus Christ, and that means you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you say, "God, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner, and I acknowledge that Jesus died on the cross for my sin, and on the third day he rose again, and he did that for me," right? He did that to save me from my sins. That is all we need to bless God. And actually, the Bible says about Jesus, right, when the dove comes out and says that, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." And if Christ is in us, the Father is pleased with us. And there's nothing more that we need to do to be fully pleasing to God, right? And yes, we go through a process, that word I said, sanctification, where God cleanses us and makes us more like him. But today, right, the day you gave your life to Christ, whatever that day was, to today, right, in Christ, you are blessing God. You bless God by being in his word, by being in Christ. And I love that, right? God wants all of us as women to know how much we bless him, right? And it's kind of like the Bible talks continuously about a remnant, right? In a lost and dark world, there's always a remnant that he has. And I think, and we'll look again at the end of this message, people like Noah in the Bible, right? Noah, it says in Genesis 6:8, it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And a few verses before that, in the first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, it talks about how just the world was so depraved. And it even says, like, God regretted making people, right? He's just so heartbroken at how evil had taken over the world through sin nature, through the fall of Adam and Eve, that he was just heartbroken. And just a few lines later, it says, "But Noah found unmerited favor in the eyes of the Lord." And that's a really good picture of that remnant, right? That people set apart for God, right? In God, through Christ Jesus. And that's who we are. And that's why, and only why, we please God, right? We know every day, just probably seconds into waking up, that we're sinners, that we mess up, that we don't get things right. But Christ, because we've received Christ, we are pleasing to God. And I love that. So I was thinking about how to organize the information and understanding how we bless God and what these three verses tell us about blessing God. And I couldn't think of it until I realized how I explain information to my students is the 5 W's. Anyone remember the 5 W's? Want to say them? What's the first one? Who, where, when, why, and then the H, how. Who, what, where, when, why, and how. So when I talk about writing, right? We always look at a story and you go through the five W's, right? And the how at the end. So our first point is, who is involved in this process of blessing God who loves you so much? Well, the first person is God. It's always starts with God, never with us, okay? John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Right? It's all him. All him. The center focus of this whole story is about God. And I love in John 3:16, right? Often we hear it, but not enough. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, right? And that's so true. As women, we fall so prey in all the things that we do on a daily basis and all the multitasking that we do, right? Just as women in our jobs, right? As wives, as mothers, as daughters, fill in the blank, right? All those things that you do, we are constantly just fighting those darts of the enemy of making us feel guilty for what we forgot. But that's not of the Lord. The Lord is telling us through this message, I am blessed by you. I'm blessed by you. I love you so much. You receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and there's nothing more you can do, right? You have my full love and blessing. And I like that on our end, right, Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's our end of it, right? And we want joy, right? Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life, and in your presence there's fullness of joy. So as we meet God tonight, as we're reminded that we can bless him through Jesus Christ alone, we find fullness of joy. We find fullness of joy. So what happens, right? We got the who. Now let's go to the what happens in praise and blessing. So the psalm is obviously talking a lot about praising God and blessing God. So one thing we can kind of think about is sometimes praise, right, can be involuntary and doesn't necessarily require a relationship. So if you think on it, you can praise someone you don't know personally, right? You can see a celebrity and you say, wow, they're wearing really nice shoes, right? Or you can think on, you know, a speaker and they're like, wow, they were very eloquent, right? You might not know them at all, have never met them, but you can give them an encouragement and praise. But it takes an intimate relationship with someone to be able to bless them. So that's kind of a good way to distinguish praise and blessing, is blessing is marked by relationship. Blessing is marked by will. I love that picture in the Gospels when Jesus is riding in on a donkey on Palm Sunday. And what does he say? He says, if you didn't cry out, these rocks would cry out, right? That's a praise because it would be involuntary. And God's creation, right, like the animal kingdom, the plant system, praises him. And it's not by free will. That means they don't have a choice. They are in submission to him as his creation, right? We are the only thing that gets to choose for God or against God, right? And we make that choice in Jesus Christ and following him. And he gives us that choice because he loves us so much. He loves us so much. So when you give somebody a choice and they choose for you, right, that's true love. That's true love. And that blessing, right, blessing happens because you have a relationship with someone. So you can bless someone you know. So if you know something that somebody likes, you tend to be like, I want to bless them with that, right? Kim knows I really like coffee, right? She'll surprise me with my favorite cup of drip coffee because she knows I love coffee, right? So you have to have a relationship with someone to bless someone, right? And that's the picture here, right? We bless God. We get to bless God. We have that privilege because we know him through Jesus Christ, right? So we talked about the first one was, anyone remember? Who? Second? What? Now we're going to where? Where can we do this? So again, I just want to keep re-emphasizing, not because I want to be repetitious, but because I really believe this is God's emphasis in the message for me and for all of you tonight, is that you have God's full blessing and you fully bless God because you've chosen Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And right now, he's sitting right on the throne of God and just delighting in you because you have accepted and received Jesus Christ as your Savior. And it's that simple. And I have a hard time with that statement, right? I have a hard time thinking that I can bless God. Do you have a hard time with that too? Right? And I was thinking, Lord, why is it so hard for me to feel like I can bless you? Like, it just feels like Peter, when he's talking to Jesus himself, and he realizes who he's talking to, and he says, depart from me. I'm a man of unclean lips. And what does Jesus tell Peter? He says, Peter, don't fear. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. Right? And I love that exhortation he gives Peter, right? And that's kind of how it feels. Like, there's no way I can bless God. We can bless God because we're sinners, right? We mess everything up. And the more I try to make things work, the worse it gets, right? And God's saying, no, right? You're missing the point because it's by my grace. And we have a hard time receiving that. We have a hard time fully embracing that we bless God because we have a hard time embracing the idea of grace. And that's, it's all by grace, right? Ephesians says what? It is by grace you have been saved, not by works, not by anything you've done that you could earn God's favor, right? And we never compare ourselves to someone better than us, right? We always compare ourselves to someone worse than us. We're like, well, I'm not that bad, right? I don't do that thing. But what if we compare ourselves to the holy and perfect God, right? Then we need his grace. Then we live by his grace. And that's the only thing. And grace just means undeserved favor, right? Giving us what we don't deserve, right? So where can we bless God? Practically, right? We said we are fully blessing to God in Christ alone, right? But as we go through this process of knowing God more, there are practical ways we can bless God. And the first one, right, if you're married, is in marriage, right? And I think God wants to remind us that marriage, right, is not merely a sanctifying tool, okay? It's not a tool of just sandpaper to make you a better person, right? That is not the goal of marriage. The goal of marriage and why God created the sacrament of marriage is because he wanted to bless you, right? He wanted to bless you. And there's, like, he has the picture of Christ and the church and all of that. But really, God, a part of that sacrament, that holiness, that perfect union of marriage is because God wants you to enjoy one another. Right? That's the goal, right? Enjoy one another. And I almost think of when you give a gift to someone, right? Have you ever given a gift to someone and you can tell they don't like it? Isn't that a really bad feeling? I'm like, oh no, okay. I'll have to tell my brother I should share this story tonight. But I kept giving all these things that I thought would be a real blessing to my brother this last year. And every time he took the gift, and I think he was just being an older sibling. You know how that goes if you have any older siblings. And he's like, better luck next year. That's what he would say. He's like, I hope you brought back the receipt for it, right? And I think he's just being a funny older brother because they know how to push your buttons, right? And you're like, okay, it's in there. So I just had a fun time. I'm like, next year I'm just going to get you lots of socks and that's all. But that's just sibling relationship, right? But I love the picture of like when you get the gift, like the smallest gift for someone you didn't even think anything about, and they're so appreciative of it. It's the greatest feeling ever. And it's really sweet to see their reaction, whether it's a friend or a loved one. I even see it like in a parent-child relationship, right? You all know I have an eight-month-old baby. And we got Noah this little gift. I think someone had gotten it for him. But I got the privilege of giving him his favorite gift of all time. And it was this little soft rattle, okay? And it's like chewy, so it's perfect because they like to put everything in their mouth, right? And it was this like soft rattle, and it looked like a bug. And in Armenian, the word for bug, because I'm bilingual in Armenian and English, is bejug. Okay, that's how you say bug. So we call this little rattle bejug, so that he can learn Armenian and English. So he took that rattle, and as soon as he laid eyes on that thing, he was like, like just gasping. And I was like he had all these like cool toys that I wanted to show him, and he loves this rattle. Like as soon as he sees it, he like shakes it and then stuffs it in his mouth. And it's the only thing like you can wash and rewash. So I'm like, all right, we'll keep going. It's working, right? So it's just really neat to see. And I think that's how God wants us to enjoy marriage, right? Just like being so delighted in one another, right? And that gift, that picture of a gift. And I understand in some situations this could be challenging, right? But the Lord says, right, that in a picture of an unbeliever and a believer relationship, and sometimes when you're not seeing eye to eye on things, right, it says, the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband, right? So there's something about patience in that process and prayer. And we can delight in one another in marriage, right, three ways: physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Physically, Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed, the marital bed, undefiled, right? So it's holy before God. Spiritually, through praying together, and emotionally, right? Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And I like that because the highlight of that scripture in Galatians to me is the fruit of the Spirit, not my feeling, right? That means that even when I don't feel like doing those things, God can overcome that. God can overcome that, and we can pray and ask. I am always asking for the Holy Spirit. Like, I'm desperate for it, right? I'm like, Lord, I really need your help. There's no way I can do this day without you, right? And I heard in a message somewhere, as someone said, ask for the Holy Spirit to be upon you first thing in the day, right? First thing in the day. And I'm coupling it alongside my praise in the morning, and it's just been really fruitful and edifying, right? Before I get crazy frazzly, before I hear a crying baby that's like, you're 5 minutes too late and I'm starving and I'm going to make it known. And before those things take over my heart and make me anxious, I just ask, God, would you enable me with the Holy Spirit? And that's the same thing when you're having a hard moment, whether in singleness, whether in marriage, in waiting, right, in a really emotional state, in a difficult circumstance, you can ask God for the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, would you give me by your Holy Spirit love for this person? Would you give me by your Holy Spirit joy? And the emotions, right, that the feelings come and go, right, but the Spirit, right, is unchanging, right? God is never changing. He's from everlasting to everlasting, so we can rely on him. We can bless God through our friendships. I like the series we've been going through. I promise I'm not biased. But I like the series we've been going through about bearing one another's burdens, right? Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And in similar multitude, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourselves. That is not possible apart from God, okay? We are so self-centered. self-centered, right? Everything is filtered through the self. I was teaching my students about being good listeners, and actually, psychology tells us, right, that everything that we listen to is filtered through the self. Things that you have prior experiences with, things that are interesting to you, things that you just happen to know about, things that you have made references to, things you feel naturally connected to, right? And if it doesn't fit any of that mold, we chuck it out, right? Right? That's how we are naturally, but we have the Lord, right? And apart from Christ, right? And it's not possible to filter the self out, right? It's only by the Lord that we can do that. And the Lord is blessed, right, when we put someone else ahead of ourselves. So in those moments, right, where God is speaking to your heart, okay, not audibly, we know that, but just speaking to your heart and telling you, hey, you should contact this person. Hey, I want you to reach out to this person. And I've shared this story before, but I'll share it again. There was when I first became a Christian, I was going through a really, really hard time where God was just stripping me of, like, just friendships that were not healthy for me and people and things. And I just felt really, really lonely. And I remember there was, like, one night that nobody was around. And I was living with my parents at the time. And my parents had somewhere to go. My brother wasn't home. And I just sat at home alone. And I just was, like, sinking into a deep, sad depression that day. I distinctly remember that moment. It was many years ago. And I was just so sad. And I just felt like, Lord, like, I need help. And I was just getting so sad that I couldn't even pray. Like, if you've ever experienced that kind of sadness and hurt where you can't even pray out loud, and the Bible talks about that the Holy Spirit makes groans on your behalf, right? And it's just that deep sadness, right? You just can't even, like, think, and you're just sitting there and just can't do anything. And I remember one of my friends that I didn't even know that well, that I wasn't that close to, who was a Christian and a believer, and she just called me in that moment. I've never talked to her on the phone ever before that moment. And she's like, hey, how are you doing? I just wanted to check in on you and see how it's going. And, like, completely changed my mood. Like, completely took me out of that, like, just a practical phone call that took me out of that moment of depression. And that's the same thing, right? We can bless God as we listen to the Holy Spirit doing those very simple things. I hope it's okay, but I wanted to share my memory of Terry. So I put her on the spot, sorry. but I was just thinking at Terry's memorial service 2 weeks ago, the Lord just brought into remembrance in my heart one of the first times I was teaching here when we moved here. It was a gratitude gathering. It was like a Thanksgiving women's gathering. And I was really, really nervous, okay? Very, very nervous. And you might have not known, but I was very deathly afraid. And I remember when I got up to share what God had put on my heart to share, all I remember was Terry's, like, sweet countenance in the back, like, just giving me all of her attention and giving me the sweetest nods in the back. And she had no clue how scared I was. She was just being Terry and so sweet, right? And that moment, like, I didn't forget. And when I went home that night, I was just like, thank you, Jesus, for Terry. Thank you. Thank you that you put her there. And she was like an answered blessing, and she had no clue. And I guarantee, right, when she walked out of that room, the enemy was probably attacking her, saying, you don't belong, whatever he was telling her. But she did, and God used her mightily that night, so much so that memory will be ingrained in me forever. And all for her, she just nodded back there, but it meant the world to me in that moment. And it's just those little things we ought not to shrug off as blessing God, because that blessed me, and I knew that the Lord was working through her in that moment and blessing me. And we can also bless God practically in our jobs, in our jobs. Sometimes this is way harder than others, right? I love what 1 Peter 2:18 says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. And that's hard. That's really hard, right? But I know it's possible if it's in the Word, because God, through the Holy Spirit, would enable us. We also bless God by what we watch and what we listen to. And this isn't a statement of, like, legalism, right? I do not want to tell anyone what to watch and what not to watch, okay? That is far too much of a burden on me, and I am definitely not the standard for any of those things. But just having that desire in our hearts to please God. And I love what the Bible says, that to meditate on what is noble, right, and what is true. To meditate on what is noble and true. So just asking, God, is this noble and true? Does this please you? Right? And that's to our benefit, right? I remember, if you know Kay Smith, who was Chuck Smith's wife, right? And he was the pastor of Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa. And his wife was, like, really a self-proclaimed anti-soap opera person. If you listen to any of her messages, she's going to say, on my tombstone, it's going to say one day, Kay Smith hated soap operas, right? And she was a pastor's wife when, like, soap operas were, like, a phenomenon. But I think that kind of example and that point is, are we watching things or listening to things that facilitate those fleshly thoughts, right? And we're inclined to do those things, the flesh, right? It says the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is so weak, right? So we have to pray that the inner person, the Holy Spirit that is living in us as proof that God loves us and died for us, right? That we are strengthening the inner person. We are strengthening that inner person and not giving any food to that flesh. I think something that's really important to remember is that we bless God through our words, through our words. I love this scripture in Malachi. I've been waiting to share this. Malachi 3:16 says, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name." Wow, what a sweet picture. I just imagine, right, that in heaven right now, a book of remembrance is being written about this night, tonight, as we're talking about God, as you walked in and you're sharing with each other about your day and anything about God. God is pleased and blessed, and he's writing about it, right? Not that God forgets, but he's just writing that book of remembrance. And I think that gives us a picture of how much God values it. So Kim was exhorting us about journaling. It looks like God does the same thing as we talk about him, right? He's journaling about us. It's so sweet. So in 2 Corinthians 2:15, it says, "For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ, among those who are being saved and those who are perishing," right? It's that, like, good scent that we give off of Christ. Does anyone like candles? I love candles. A good smelling candle. I'm really picky on my candle scents too, right? I don't like them when they smell too sweet. Maybe you're like a sugary candle person, but I think of that image, right? When you walk into a room and there's a candle that's lit that you like and you enjoy that scent and you're like, whew, that smells good, right? It's that sweet smelling aroma, right? And our prayers, right? Our words, our prayers. In the book of Revelation, it says that the bowls in heaven are filled with the prayers of the saints, right? And I love that picture. So our words are pleasing to God so much so that when he talks about them, he records them. So we talked about the who, what, where. Now we're going to the when. Okay, so when do we get to bless God? Well, according to David in this psalm, all the time, right? Continuously. Thanks, Demnis. We get to bless him every day. And I love that David says forever and ever. And he's not trying to be poetic when he says this. He's not just saying forever and ever and ever and ever. But he's trying to add emphasis at how much depth and longevity this time is going to be. Right? He's preparing us for all eternity. He's saying, start practicing now. We're going to worship and bless God forever and ever, right? So we can start that practice now so that it's familiar when we get there. And just practically, as I shared before, right, we can start blessing God first thing in the morning or when we wake up at night, right? Have you ever had a restless night, right? That happens to me, right? You're just like, all these things you're thinking about, and you're like, Lord, there's not enough time in the day than tomorrow to do all those things, right? There's just not enough hours, and you're already stressing about it. But God's like, why don't you praise me and bless me, right? Why don't you speak those good things of me and let me handle that, right? Let me handle that. And I love that the Bible says, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, the Bible says. And I love that picture, right? We make a choice. There's a choice that we make to rejoice and be glad in it, right? The day is made by God. No choice there, right? He makes the day. But I will rejoice and be glad in it. There's a declaration, right? I will choose to be rejoicing in this day, right? And I think what's really good, as Kim was sharing last week, that it doesn't have to be a one-time thing that you leave there in the morning, right? Some days, it's like every 5 minutes for me. Like, Lord, I don't know what happened. Like, 5 minutes ago, I came and prayed to you, and I'm already a mess again, right? I know I'm not the only one. There is those kinds of days where you just need him over and over again, and that's okay. God is blessed by that. He wants intimacy with us. It's not like those days, like, he's more disappointed in us because we messed up more. He's like, come back, come back, come back to me, right? And we make that choice every day, and we make that choice continuously. So it's all day, every day, when we bless him. So the next one is why. Why do we want to bless God? So knowing we bless God helps us know the nature of God. So when we bless God, when we understand that we're a blessing to God because we've received Christ as our Lord and Savior, we really start understanding his grace and his mercy. So first, grace, like we said, Ephesians 2:8 says, it is by grace you've been saved. You haven't done anything to earn this, right? But it's all through the cross. It's all through Jesus Christ, right? What I don't deserve. And mercy, right? Romans 9, chapter 16, it says, so then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. And mercy, right? Grace is... God gives us what we don't deserve, and mercy is that he holds back what we do deserve, right? It's kind of like that punishment, that wrath. He takes that away from us and instead gives us what we don't deserve, love and favor and kindness and goodness and his faithfulness toward us, right? And I like in the book of Romans, it also says it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance, right? So knowing God loves us creates a desire to grow in him. So that's why we bless God. That's why we want to bless God, because he loves us, right? When someone gives you everything they've got, right, you desire to bless him, right? You desire to bless him. So how is the last one. We got through the five W's. Good job. Round of applause. The last one is how. How do we bless God? And like we keep saying, only one way, and that's through faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's impossible to please God without faith. And Hebrews 11:1 also says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of the things not yet seen. And in Easton's dictionary, it defines faith as the persuasion of the mind that a certain statement is true. I'm going to read that again. Easton's dictionary says, faith is the persuasion of the mind that a certain statement is true. It's true. So that's our confidence in God. Are we feeling confident in God's love, right? So as we look through the Bible, we see many, many examples of people, right, that God uses that bless him, right? That work to bless him. And we already talked about Noah, right? He spent over 100 years in the middle of the desert building a boat, right? And every time he put a nail in that boat, it was God's faithfulness, and it blessed God that he was obedient to him and doing what God called him to do. Or Daniel in the lion's den, when they threw Daniel in the lion's den, right? And God showed himself strong on his behalf and held the mouth of the lions, as we recant in Hebrews chapter 11. It blessed God. It blessed God to protect Daniel. It blessed God that Daniel was faithful, right? Also in the book of Daniel, Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? When they got thrown in the fiery furnace, right? God was there with them, right? And maybe we're not in a literal fiery furnace like them, but sometimes, right? Oftentimes we go through those fiery furnace circumstances, whether it's in our personal lives, in our jobs, right? In all sorts of places. It just feels like that unquenchable burning fire, right, that we're going through, that hard thing. And God is blessed to see us walk with him through those things, right, because he's got us. He's protecting us. And Hannah, right, what about Hannah? As she was faithfully and just completely broken before God, she just realized she had nothing to offer God. She was completely at his mercy and just praying to God to see if there's anything, right? If there's anything. And she just was giving her whole heart to God in that moment. It blessed God, right? It blessed God because there was intimacy there. And the sinful woman who washed Jesus' feet in the book of Luke, you see this interaction between Simon the Pharisee and Jesus, right? When they're at the house, and this woman is just like in Jesus' corner and washing his feet with his tears and wiping his feet with her hair. And it's just such a beautiful picture. And we don't even know her name. It just says sinful woman, right? And we could all be identified as a sinful woman, right? And she's just at God's mercy and such a great place to be. And Simon the Pharisee tells Jesus, actually says it in his heart, doesn't even say it out loud, says, if you only knew what manner of woman this was. And Jesus responds to him because he could hear, right, that thought in his heart, and says, right, gives him a parable and tells Simon, right, whom much is forgiven loves much, right? And that's the same picture, right? When we know how much we've been forgiven of, we desire to bless God. And then I was also thinking about Mary, Martha's sister, who just sat at Jesus' feet, and she was just delighting as Martha was just going, right? Going, going, going. And Mary was just delighting. And it blessed God. He said it, right? Jesus says she chose the better thing. So I want to just kind of bring this all to a close with 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. And it says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. I chose the wrong day to wear gold jewelry, but the Lord's not telling us that we can't, right? He's saying don't let it merely be those things, but focus, right, on being that quiet and gentle spirit by God through the Holy Spirit. So again, my prayer, and I believe that God's desire is for me, for us tonight, to know how much he is blessed by us, how much he is blessed by this gathering, how much he's blessed by your choice, that you could have done so many other things tonight, but you made a choice to be here, and it is a blessing to God, and he is fully in love with you because you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So let's close in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that it is all by you that we have full favor and grace and love and mercy in all things that we desired and hoped for, all things that we were looking for in the world, but those things in the world left us more sad, more anxious, and more bankrupt. Help us, God, come back to the good thing and help us sit at your feet and just be blessed by you and bless your name. And we know, Lord, that there's nothing in us that can bless you. But we do this, Lord, solely by the name of Jesus Christ. And we pray through the power in that name, Jesus. Amen.